listening to our community, I sense people really need Christmas this year. We're hungry for it. So many are struggling with challenges, very complex. In fact, so complex we know for sure that only a miracle will help. And yet many of us, even if we come to church and take the name Christian, we really don't believe in miracles. In fact, how long since you prayed for supernatural help in that area where you need it most and actually believed God would respond? Usually it's only when we're truly desperate, where we've knocked on every door and there's nowhere else to go, and finally we try God. Frankly, I'm hesitant to even discuss the subject of miracles. Not that I do not believe in them, I do. But so many of you have been beat up with this subject that I know you're liable to turn off on my first 3 minutes. Televangelists have inflicted mortal wounds on people's faith in divine healing and other kinds of miracles. Many carry such hurtful burdens this hour that miracle talk turns you off because you have asked God and He has not responded to your needs in the way you expected. And then many of us in this community approach life in the scientific perspective of believing what can only be validated in the laboratory. That is the only reality we accept. I'm happy to tell you Jesus understands where we're coming from. And He accepts us right there, but He might surprise us in this hour. Because of the downside of this subject, coupled with my certainty that the Holy Spirit can work, that I believe a fresh look at the Christmas miracle can strip away our calluses of unbelief regarding the supernatural. So let me prime our pump of expectation for Christmas by studying the story of our Lord's birth. First, the Bible says the birth of Jesus is a miracle. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When His mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child of the Holy Spirit. Jesus was born of a human mother without a biological father, and that's a miracle the church has called the virgin birth. Frankly, most of the mainline denominations have not believed that doctrine for years. Hasn't been taught in the seminary for years. We've become very sophisticated in the 20th century of debunking New Testament truth. Unfortunately, along with it has been our ability then to tap into supernatural power of God. The Bible says the Holy Spirit was the vehicle by which God enfleshed Himself with us, an event that motivates this common question of concern in Seekers and Joiners classes. Is it necessary to believe in the virgin birth to be a Christian? I have another question. Is the virgin birth a greater miracle than our Lord's resurrection from the dead? Belief in the physical resurrection of Jesus from the dead is the very heart of our Christian faith. Adding to that, much of our Lord's earthly ministry involved miracles, such as healing the sick, the lame, the blind, changing water into wine, even raising the dead. Personally, I believe in the virgin birth because the Bible says that's the way it happened. And if I isolate that miracle out and say, no, I'm too sophisticated to believe in it, what am I going to do with the rest of Christianity? Christianity is basically rooted in the miracle that God loved us so much. He came miraculously in Jesus Christ, did all these miracles in His ministry, was crucified, and then miraculously was raised from the dead. That's what we believe as Christians. We're founded in the miraculous. Take the miraculous out of Christianity and you've lost Christianity. Perhaps for us this morning, I want to suggest people who struggle with our Lord's miraculous birth probably struggle to believe in any kind of miracle. And no wonder, therefore, our prayer life is so limited and our expectation of God so small, and so many of us so stressed out because even as Christians, we're really confronting life without any resources beyond those of human potential. And folks, that just isn't enough. And many of us are discovering that to be true. But, you know, the miracle of a service like this is that if God could give us eyes to see, miracles are happening all the time. Our interview this morning reminded us of what's happening in Eastern Europe Russia, the Berlin Wall. Lars was telling me an interesting story. He was in Romania when the Berlin Wall was first broken through, sitting down with a group of Romanian pastors, I believe. And he said, at that moment, the pastor said, you know, well, that's a miracle in Germany. It will be 26 years before it happens in Romania. 45 days later, it happened in that country. Miracles happen. Haven't all of you experienced, quote, happenings in everyday life you can't explain? Maybe you prayed because you had such a desperate need, but you didn't expect very much. But the problem was resolved. Now you're in a quandary. You don't know whether to give God the credit or attribute the whole scenario to luck. If you give God the credit, then you say you believe in miracles, and that isn't too chic in our culture. A doctor in our church was assisting in surgery last week. The patient's heart had stopped. This woman had had 9 bypasses in the surgery, had been on the heart pump over an hour. They couldn't get the heart started. This doctor went behind the screen in surgery, got down on her knees and prayed, and the heart started to beat. That woman will probably never know that her healing was a miracle, and you'll never convince the doctor that that miracle of the heart starting was not a result of prayer. It was not luck. And then, remember these rosebuds that we handed out 2 and 3 years ago? We've been making them into a wreath, and now there's hundreds of them on there. And every one, you probably can't see them way in back, but every flower represents some kind of a miracle, because we told the people, we're giving you a rose. Keep it until that impossible thing in your life happens. Then send me a letter, and we'll give God the glory. Let me share one rose story this year that was sent to me in March. It's a beautiful story, and it's a very true one. Today is my birthday, and the best present I received was to see our son sing in the children's choir at service this morning. He was born with Nagar's syndrome, a rare condition which affected the development of his facial features, his hearing, and his limbs. The future of our son, as well as the whole family, was very uncertain. In September, Nathaniel started kindergarten in a regular school. Surprisingly, he's doing well academically, and the children are friendly, kind, and caring. He has seen his sister sing in the choir for years. I never dreamed choir would become a reality for him, but Margie Lawrence invited him into the choir with open arms. Today, as he sang in the church, my eyes filled with tears and my heart overflowed with joy and gratitude to our Lord for how he has blessed us with this special son. Hear that? How he has blessed us with this special son. We know the future still holds difficult times for Nathaniel, but God has shown us so many miracles already that we'll just continue to trust him. Sincerely, Claudia. Sunday night we had the children's musical. You shouldn't have missed it if you did. And Nathaniel was right there. My heart just leapt out in joy to see that young man still developing, breaking all medical prognoses, and functioning as a miracle. Not perfect, still physically handicapped, but in spite of it, a miracle, his parents calling him a blessing, and to watch him break through that syndrome and still function mainline. Folks, that's a miracle. God didn't fit into our molds of suddenly remaking Nathaniel. He remade us in relationship to Nathaniel. That's a miracle. Miracles happen. I want you to know that. That's what Christmas is all about. Sometimes instantly, but most of the time over a long period of time. After we've gone past the breaking point and we didn't break, and after we've almost given up, like regarding rain, is it ever going to come? Yes, it will. In the case of Nathaniel, he becomes a catalyst to help us face our struggles when waiting upon God. So a first truth in our text, miracles do happen for those who believe, but they happen in God's way and in God's time. Let me offer a second truth from our Lord's virgin birth. His birth is a scandal, and it's an embarrassment to scientifically oriented minds. Many secular minds would ask, why would God break his own natural laws to perform any kind of miracle? And my immediate answer is, I don't know. The point is, he does, has, and will. Belief in miracles can be publicly and professionally very embarrassing. I don't think many surgeons would kneel in an operating room in the midst of surgery asking for some help, because doctors have to have it all there, and if a doctor doesn't have it, nobody does. Not so. People tend to reject belief in God's supernatural activity in our culture. Skeptical minds do not understand that God will not allow himself to be reduced to the size of our ability to understand him. He will not allow himself to be put into a test tube for analysis. He won't be pushed into our parameters of timing and methods. He's God. Mary, the mother of Jesus, modeled perfect faith in God's ability to do miracles, coupled with a willingness to pay the price of public ridicule for believing in miracles. Folks, let's put it in 1990. Imagine the scandal of trying to explain a virgin birth to a skeptical group of peers. I don't think it was any easier in the first century than it would be for Mary to tell us as a congregation, "I'm pregnant, but the Holy Spirit did it." That is a scandal. It's an embarrassment. Therefore, what would motivate us to overcome our fear of embarrassment regarding belief in miracles? Well, I think number one, a desperate need I have seen take the most sophisticated people and break them and motivate us to venture beyond skepticism and take a leap of faith to ask God to act because we have no place else to go. I hope we don't have to reach that point before we believe, but unfortunately many of us do. I'll tell you what's made me believe in miracles. A regular prayer life asking for miracles for ourselves and others builds up a backlog of indisputable facts about God's supernatural activity. Skepticism is impossible for me, no matter what a public opinion might say about miracles. I have years of journals on my computer validating answers to prayer. And frankly, it's easy for me to believe God works miraculously, supernaturally. Rather than be embarrassed by my faith in miracles, I sorrow for those so sophisticated that they live without the assurance of God's undergirding in their personal lives. I don't know how they do it. I either admire them or sorrow for them, and I think more the latter. I would hate to live in this world by human potential alone. I know mine isn't enough. Well, whatever the price for believing in miracles, it's worth it. Living without faith in the miraculous can lead to the cost of being filled with pessimism, skepticism, despair, bitterness, hopelessness, because we're trying to make life happen on human potential alone. A final truth in this drama of our Lord's birth: God needs willing human instruments sometimes through which to perform his miracles. Joseph is sort of the unsung hero in this story. Joseph, husband of Mary, models how God uses our availability to perform miracles. Think about the tough questions confronting this guy. Mary had her problems, but Joseph has his fiance come and say to him, "You know, Joseph, funny thing happened. I'm pregnant by the Holy Spirit. I don't know if I can handle that." But the text says Joseph was a just man, unwilling to put her to shame, and decided to quietly divorce her. But then he went to sleep and he had a dream. This is where the story gets a little bizarre. An angel tells him in a story, "Hey, Joseph, it's okay. God really did it. Go ahead and marry Mary." Well, you know, that took a lot of faith, because I don't even think I'd believe a dream. But that angel assured him this miracle was of God, and Joseph said, "I'm available." And he responded in obedience. Let me give a short footnote about the three stages of Jewish marriage so you might understand what's going on in the text. Why a divorce? Because he hadn't even married her yet. Well, the first step of Jewish marriage was the engagement, in which a contract is made between two families to see if a couple are suited for each other. Isn't that wonderful? Moms and dads chose the mate. And the poor fellows and gals, they just kind of went along with mom and dad. I don't think that would work today. Where, you know, I have good friends and I really like their daughter. "I think you'd be wonderful for my son John, so let's just get them together." And then we announce it to the kids. Well, that's how it happened. Second, the betrothal. This was the public ratification of the engagement, which lasted for 1 year. And that's where Joseph and Mary were. without consummation of the marriage. But betrothal could not be ended except by divorce. And then finally, the marriage itself. And that happened after Joseph's dream. Joseph, in obedience to God, married his betrothed and then provided for Jesus as his father for 30 years until he left the carpenter shop. I'm going to like to meet Joseph in heaven. I think he must have been a great guy. Joseph modeled prompt, simple, unspectacular availability to God. And because of his availability, the miracle of Christmas could happen. He became the vehicle through which the miracle could occur. Many miracles represented on this wreath demanded a willing human instrument, a vehicle of faith through which God could work. Nathaniel's parents are a beautiful vehicle of faith, so this little guy who's a blessing to them can blossom. One of the great miracles of Christmas this year could be, will we allow the spirit of the season to soften our hearts so that we'll turn from our preoccupation with the personal needs and agendas and be free to become involved in the needs of others? You know, that's Christmas, bottom line. Could it be that we'll make the Adopt-A-Family ministry really happen and make Christmas a reality for hundreds of people? Last week, 2/3 of the families were adopted. I'm thrilled at your response. That's Christmas. That's becoming available so God can answer somebody's prayers through you, and miracles will suddenly happen all over the peninsula. Or more specifically, and I've never done this before in the church, in your bulletin is noted a need of one of our children. A miracle could happen in the life of young Ryan Richards, whose life depends upon finding a bone marrow donor. Many have already donated a pint of blood, which is then analyzed to see if might, by chance they might have a matchup to Ryan's need. At the same time, the various blood banks are benefited by our willingness to go and give. I'd like to believe this Christmas we might bring a much-needed miracle to the Richards family who have suffered so much with this genetic disease that has afflicted their children. Well, many of us will approach Christmas with needs of our own this year. And maybe you came to church somewhat skeptical of easy answers, quick fixes from God for complex needs. Well, I'm going to believe the Holy Spirit really scratched on your heart today and galvanized some truth. And these are the truths we learn from the virgin birth. First, miracles do happen in God's way and God's timing if we have faith to believe and eyes to see. We have to look for them. Secondly, faith in miracles must become stronger than our fear of public ridicule if we seek supernatural intervention in our personal needs, like the surgeon who publicly among his scientific peers will kneel praying for help. Sometimes God depends upon our availability in order to make miracles happen in the life of someone else. Are you available this Christmas so someone might experience a miracle through you? Now, if you have a need for which only a miracle is enough, here's a challenge for you. Would you take a leap of faith as you leave the service today about Christmas? Ask God to open the eyes of your heart to the miracle of his son's birth, assuring you that the same miracle that brought Jesus into the world is supernaturally available to help you in your area of greatest need. Stop coping with life using your inadequate personal resources alone. You were not designed to live that way. And open the door of faith and allow your Heavenly Father to care for you using his timing and his methods that ultimately you might understand only in heaven. Happy to say today, Jesus is no longer an infant. He's a king who rules the universe, and he's very able to meet any complex need you're carrying if you'll just come unto him, as Scott said last week, and let him share your load. And to his name be the glory. Amen.